From the deepest darkness of Droman Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest light that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 22 of Flashpoint, and it's fair to say the three of us are very excited. Excited probably that much that we don't want to be doing this because we could be in playing early game access, but we're going to hold up our heads and give it a go anyway. As always, first big hello to Mark. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Good. Now, horrific news, although those that listened to last episode will know, Ed is on a road trip from the US back to Canada, and so he's missing this podcast. So very ably standing in the breach is one of Toroz's other notable writers, Simon. Simon, how are you?
I am good, buddy. How are you? I'm sorry to say to everyone that I am not Ed, nor am I Gail, but we'll try and make the best of it.
I didn't even put you up for that. That's impressive. So, and as you can hear, Simon has a great voice for radio.
Oh, flatterer.
So there you go. All right, let's launch straight in because there's no shortage of stuff to talk about.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
All right, so the obvious topic is early access. So unless you've been hiding under a rock somewhere, you know that early access started 4 or 5 days ago. 13th anyway. It was 13th. I've lost track now. And I think all three of us on this podcast have been madly playing away, although some more than others. I'll probably start with you, Mark. I believe you're a level 24?
Yeah, I've got a level 24 Marauder. Yeah. I actually got in wave one, which I was really surprised at. I knew I'd get in early, but yeah, the moment the servers came up, I was in there. Quite strangely, I got in about 3 hours before I got the email telling me that I was getting in, so...
You weren't alone there. I was on the very first wave, nor had I received the email. And I just thought, I might give this a go and see if I can get in, and it worked. And I know some people say, it just shows because you're a fan site, you got in. I know there was no favoritism because some of the more notable US sites, some of their writers were whinging like stuck pigs that they weren't in on the first wave. So it was truly based on your pre-order date.
Yeah.
So, Mark, how are you finding it?
Love it. I keep making alts. You know what I was like and why I had all these alts. And, you know, I've leveled this Marauder up to 24, but I've already got a level 12 Sorcerer, a level 12 Assassin, and I think he's about a level 8 or 9 Bounty Hunter. So whenever the mood gets me, I just switch tunes.
That's the way to do it. And any criticisms or things that have grated on you with it so far?
Look, there's only one thing that's kind of upset me at the moment, and I don't think it's anyone's fault, really, is the queue times on the servers. Like, I know the queue time on the server I'm on is just insane. Yeah. Like, you know, earlier today I logged in, I was like 1,100 and something, and I think, quite honestly, it took me about 3 hours to get logged in.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to talk about queues in a sec, so it's a really good point. Yeah. Simon, where are you up to? Are you as dedicated as Mark? You've got a number of alts at fairly decent levels.
No one is as dedicated as Mark, but I've been playing around a little bit with a few alts, although that's across two servers, one on a West Coast server, one on an East Coast server. I'm kind of curious just to see what the balance is like, what the latency is like once these things get fully loaded, which, let's face it, they are now, and just to see how playable they are, partly because my pre-launch guild has ended up on an East Coast server, so I'm just trying that out. So at the moment, I've just leveled up a Sith Warrior to level 11, and so far so good. I have to admit, although I never intended to play a Sith Warrior, kind of fallen in love with the storyline and just the whole play mechanic.
So your prime is, I know Mark's is as well, your prime is Sith then?
Jedi are just too wishy-washy. I can't take them.
Well, I'll represent the Republic then because I know Ed normally would as well. So I'm pretty boring compared to you guys. I have one character, which is a Jedi Consular, as I always promised I would, and he's at all of level 12 and a half because I seem to spend as much time writing about the game as playing it. And although I'm trying to take David Bass sent a very nice email to a lot of sites saying, look, don't spend too much time trying to be the first out with the story. Actually get in and play the damn game. And he's right. So I am trying to do that. So, yeah, level 12 and a half. But, yeah, going early access going well. But let's get on to the queue thing. So it's fair to say particularly the last 24 hours has been a real jump up in people complaining about queues, particularly in US peak times, but it's stretching into sort of early evening. But the main complaint, and Mark, I want you to jump on this in a minute, there's a lot of people starting to say, oh, was it really a good idea to only have one PvP unofficial Oceanic server on Swiftshore? And then with the PvE servers of Harbinger and Jek-Jek-Tar, which I'm probably not pronouncing right, but it's the one I'm on, you know, that it's exacerbating the issue as far as we're getting these enormous queues because, you know, even if it's only a few thousand Australians all trying to get on at the same time, particularly in peak time. So, you know, should there have been a bigger spread? What's your view on the queues, Mark?
I don't think for a moment that the Aussie guilds are blamed for these queues. If you look at the server lists, you know, more than half of them, there's massive queues on at the moment. It's not just the servers that the Aussies are playing on. So I don't blame the Aussie guilds for a moment. I don't think it's them that's causing this. I think it's just too many people on the servers, and that's what it boils down to. You know, most of the time I can put up with a queue. You know, if you've got to wait an hour, especially around launch, you can live with that. What gets me is like what happened to me today, and it was really, really frustrating, was I was actually in the game. I was playing, game crashed, thrown to the back of a 3.5 hour queue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes it has crashed to me and it'll let me straight back in and put me in like position one or two in the queue, which is fine. But they really need to up the timeout. I don't know what it's set to at the moment, but when I crashed earlier today and came back on the second time, it threw me to the end of the queue and I was just really annoyed, but what can you do?
Yeah, that is frustrating. And you're right, I agree with you. I don't think the guilds can be to blame because I can't for a minute see that they're that many people. And you're right, a lot of the servers do have huge queues. Yeah. And I tend to sympathise with BioWare on this one as far as they obviously don't want to spread people too thin across too many servers because then you end up with a non-engaging experience with not enough people around. Although even with these large queues, some people are still saying, well, I'm not actually running into that many people and I'm still finding it hard to group up anyway, which probably lends further weight that you don't want, you know, half-empty servers.
Look, if you actually look at the BioWare Twitter page, all this last few days, all they've been doing is adding servers left, right and centre. So, you know, they're doing basically the best they can.
That's right.
You know?
And Simon, what's your experience been with the queue so far?
Well, last night I can't really say that I had a problem getting on at all. And certainly the server load when I went to bed at 3:30 for some reason was not too bad either. But certainly this morning when I logged on, it was that like that split end song, I see red, I see red, I see red, and a couple of ambers. It was hellish. But I suppose that's one of the advantages of playing on an East Coast and a West Coast server is that the West Coast one was, I think, an hour 40 wait time, estimated wait time. It's a 30-minute wait time for the East Coast server. Ended up being about 40. But, sometimes it's good to have options.
Yeah, I agree. And, I think it's a no-win situation with a game that's, you know, 36 hours or whatever it is off launching. So, if you had a whole bunch of people going, oh, there's not many people around. And you can't underestimate the PR effect either of totally full servers and people going, oh, it's obviously a popular game. I might want to check this out. I'm not saying that's why they're doing it by any means, but there's probably some bump on PR effect there.
In their defense too, you know this, I haven't suffered from any lag at all on the servers. Not once.
It's been absolutely superb, and I've only had one crash in total throughout the whole beta and early access.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, I can't honestly say I've had one. I was suffering from repeated crashes, but I finally realised that's because my ancient Radeon 4850 was trying to melt its way through the bottom of the machine case. But as far as the server queues go, Jeff Hickman, the executive producer of Life Services, I think he puts it very well when he says that it's part art, part science, trying to balance the queues and just trying to get the mix right. So I think they've really done very well bringing in this whole early access thing, because it's given them a golden opportunity just to try and get things more or less working properly so that the launch can be smooth. And one of the things, just going off on a little tangent here, the Terrace memory leak problem, that's something you can imagine if that had actually cropped up on launch day or shortly after launch day, there would have been hell to pay. But because no one's actually paying for anything at the moment, no one can really complain, and they've got time to sort this thing out.
Agreed, totally. And it'll be interesting to see, you said about hell, you know, everything hell breaking loose if things go wrong. It'll be interesting how many people are impatient with that sort of stuff, because even with all the stress testing and the beta and this early access, there are things that are going to go wrong, and some people will make a huge mountain out of a molehill, whereas, you know, anyone that's played an MMO before goes, well, that's pretty much par for the course. It can't be a showstopper that, you know, causes the servers to go down for 2 days or something like that.
Yeah.
But
and at the very least, they're going to end up with a situation where at least they're not going to have everybody in the starter zones. It's not going to be like a launch of Cataclysm where you couldn't see the quest givers for Worgen in Gilnius. It was just ridiculous. The place was carpeted in Worgen on that first day. So at least it's going to be clear for people coming fresh into the game on launch day and onwards.
Yeah, it's definitely good, sequencing sort of thing for the full-on players like us. And then sort of related to us, I mean, as I said, we're about 36 hours or whatever it is off launch, and so there was a lot of interest and uproar about the grace period issue. So we did originally have a grace period as far as, and we talked about this a week ago, and then there wasn't a grace period as far as, you know, if you didn't have your box product or your game code by the, you know, 12:01 a.m. on the 20th of December, then you weren't going to be able to access the game until you did. And then BioWare, from the very top, the two co-founders, the doctors, jumped in and said, oh, look, we're going to do a 48-hour grace period now, which was met with some acclaim. Although for people like us down here, the 2 days definitely helps, but it's not going to ensure that everyone continues their access. So I know you guys are both having stuff shipped. Starting with you, Simon, you said yours is arriving when?
The 28th of December is the estimated date, and my second favourite game at the moment, apart from the Old Republic, is Where the Hell Is My Package? So I've been checking the tracking information, and all I know is it left Karlstad, New Jersey on 5:40 on the 17th. So it's somewhere between there and here now.
And along with mine, mine's at New Jersey as well. Mark, what about yours?
It looks like my one's in Los Angeles, and it says expected delivery date the 21st.
Disgusting.
And do you reckon you'll make that?
I have absolutely no idea. I'll let you know on the 21st.
Yeah, that's right. So if you do, you'll make the grace period. I mean, as people know, if you read the site, I went to the extreme of ordering a second copy and having it delivered to San Francisco, and a big thank you to Mr. Jeff Kloppmeyer for doing that for me. So he emailed me the code, and I've gone through the registration, paid my, I think I did a 6-month subscription, and so I'm a lucky boy. But that's a pretty extreme thing to have to go through. So yeah, hoping everyone does get their access, but I think there'll be a few angry people, but at least we had 2 more days grace period. And Amazon, if you bought yours from Amazon, did ship earlier than expected, so the downtime's going to be fairly minimal, hopefully anyway, and it gives me a chance to catch up to all you bastards.
I actually did my wife's order through Origin. I just told a couple of little white lies, but I got her key already, and I've put it onto her account, so hers is all up and running.
So there you go. So yeah, bear with it, people. I know some people are going to be waiting days, but you know, use it as your last chance for the next year to actually spend some time with people in the real world.
Well, and that is the plus side, is that you can get the whole family and being nice to people out of the way, and then the game arrives, and then you've already done the whole family love thing, and you can just lock yourself away and play the game and do what you want to do.
That's right. And related to that too is the authenticator. So are both of you guys going to have your security key?
Yes.
I'm actually using it already.
Yeah, same.
I downloaded the iPad app or iPhone app, whatever.
Yeah, well, considering it's free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for those not in the know, and it's very similar to World of Warcraft, you can buy the standalone key, which I didn't actually notice how much it was.
$4, apparently.
Oh, so it's cheap, and then a little bit for postage, I assume. And then there's, the iOS app for iPhone, iPad, etc. And then they are saying that one for Android and, funnily enough, BlackBerry, which I'm impressed they're going to the bother of doing BlackBerry.
Yeah.
For all those business people that want to log in during work time. So they're all available. And, like you, Mark, I got the iOS app. It's free. The only thing that annoys the crap out of me with it is that it doesn't, unlike the WoW one, it doesn't just go to the number screen. You actually have to tap on the security key thing to get the number to come up every single time.
If you look at the settings and that, though, I think from what I'm looking at, I think they're going to add more features to that application.
Yeah, and I was going to suggest...
That's what it looks like, so...
I agree. I think that's what it seems to stand out for, that it's just going to be one of many options you choose.
Mm.
So what could that be? I suppose an auction house?
A talent calculator would be nice. Auction house,
Jar Jar Binks photo gallery, something like that.
Guild chat. Who knows?
Exactly. More holo dances.
Indeed. Well, I was actually looking. Yeah, my wife was trying hers out. I got her to put it on. She got all her bonus stuff in the mail. So, I got her to solo with her holo.
Did you see the T-shirt I made for you?
I did, actually, yeah.
It's not that good. I'm going to have to work on it again. I need to, but I can't use images from the game. That's the issue.
Right, of course.
Allowed to. And when you say the digital items, because I noticed when I registered my copy that I had the option to upgrade for another, I think it was $19, to get all the digital items. So is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, because I got her the Digital Deluxe Edition.
Okay.
So, it got all these things. When she logged in after registering the key, she had, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 items or however many it was in the mailbox. So, she went and picked them up, including the mount. The stop is an epic. It's a purple.
Yeah, is that the one that looks like the flying walking frame?
Well, I think it does. I think it looks kind of like one of these Segway things, doesn't it?
Yeah, I saw it. I thought, I don't like the look of that. It looks silly.
Yeah, she hasn't used hers yet. She's only level 22.
Only, but she's 10 above me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yes, for those waiting, hope the wait goes well for you. The only other piece of news was actually the final Friday update, as far as I know. I think they're stopping the Friday updates and just doing the community block. So this one was the last of the four choose your side videos, and this time it was the Sith Warrior versus the Smuggler. Simon, you first, any thoughts? Well, you're now playing a Sith Warrior, you're probably converted anyway, but what did you think of it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not sure the point of the videos at the end of the day. I mean, the devs who worked on that class like that class. I think we got that. But I think they're always done with a good deal of whimsy. And you can always bring up the whole sucker punch thing whenever you're talking about the Smuggler. Because let's face it, that's a pretty classic move. Yeah. But let's face it, the Sith Warrior is going to win every time. No question, really.
Yeah.
That's the only guy that I played a Smuggler and beat her up to 17 or 18, and I disagree. That sucker punch is nasty.
All I've got to say on the subject is the most famous Smuggler in Star Wars was who? Han Solo. The most famous Sith Warrior in Star Wars was Vader. What happened when both of them met in Empire Strikes Back? Vader just took that gun off him, like, easy mode, told him, sit down.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, mind you, in the original movie, the Millennium Falcon comes up and basically shoots Vader's TIE fighter in the back and sends him spinning off out of control. So, I think they're pretty equal there. They both got each other fairly good.
The Death Star was a flawed design.
Yeah, that's right.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah, you've reminded me of something interesting as far as the current game access. Is anyone finding any class particularly overpowered? So I don't feel in a position in that I thought the Consular might be one at risk of that, but I'm not necessarily seeing that. You're seeing any, particularly if you played PvP?
I think they all have their roles, but The Sith Inquisitor is definitely a strong class, and the Bounty Hunter AoE damage is a bit insane, so I don't know if they're going to be nerfed or not, but they do seem pretty strong.
I don't really mind one character or one class having strengths above others in certain aspects, because it makes you strategize. In any way, someone who's inept playing any class is going to have trouble. I got dueled. I usually, in any MMO, when you get dueled, I usually, someone wants to duel me, I just sort of go away. But actually had someone do that, level 4 Inquisitor, wanted to have a go with my level 4 Sith Warrior. So they start shooting lightning and bunny hopping all over the place. I just keep whipping around and smacking him with my sword, and I won. So, I think the Inquisitor, if played smartly and strategically, would definitely be a force to be reckoned with. But, it really comes down to the player's skill.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've actually played, I think, 3 or 4 PvP games in my whole 12 levels. And, yeah, there's nothing that stood out, but just because there are a lot of Sith Inquisitors around, you just seem to notice them more. But, yeah, they didn't seem, massively overpowered. And all my PvPs have been Hutball. It's been interesting. I assume that's based on my level from memory. But, Hutball's a lot of fun. I think it's going to end up being the most popular PvP option there. Have you either played Hutball?
I did in the beta. I haven't played it since the last few days.
Go on.
No, that's right. It's just a lot of fun. The only thing that irritates me with PvP, and someone, please feel free to jump on the forums and tell me what an idiot I am. From what I can see, the only bounty board for PvP that I've found is up on the ship. It's not in each of the key cities, which means that I have to go, do a lot of running around just to hand in the PvP daily quest and pick up another one. So please scream. I mean, you're probably screaming at me now going, no, you idiot, it's here, but I haven't found it yet.
Can't you use the fleet action? I can't remember what the thing is called now. It's like your Hearthstone that gets you back to whatever you want. There's one that takes you directly to the fleet.
I could be too, and I haven't looked at that. But yeah, just for those XP points. And if any people are saying, God, doesn't he know this stuff yet? I'm purposely actually going through the game, not looking up guides and stuff, but just seeing how user-friendly the interface is and working out if things just flow like they should. And on the whole, they do. But would you guys agree there seems to be a lot more running around? When I say a lot more than, say, WoW?
Yeah.
I would say that there is at this stage, yes. But there's less running around than there was before. In the earlier stages of beta, you could only nominate one bind point, and that's the one you could go back to. In the later builds and the current build, you touch your what do you call it? I'm going to call it Hearthstone. I forgot what it's called again. and you can go to any nominated bind point that you've touched, basically. That sped things up pretty dramatically. And now they've gone and added those miscellaneous sprinkling of shuttles that can take you to the fleet. So I think that they've definitely improved or reduced the amount of running around you have to do, and they will probably add even more as things go and they get more and more player feedback.
Yeah, the bind points are brilliant, I've got to admit. I mean, as a mage in WoW, I'm used to being able to portal a few places, but this is a hell of a lot better than that again. It's, really well done. So there we go. That's the news up to the minute. So let's go chew some fat. God forbid. It's coming up close to the end of the year, so I thought it might be worth looking at what our Star Wars The Old Republic New Year's resolutions or predictions are. And there will be a post going up on the site in the coming, probably after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year, with actually formal 9 or 10 predictions, because I find it quite interesting to do predictions because I don't know shit about anything. And so it's good for a laugh a year down the track when you revisit them and you go, well, gee, I couldn't have got that more wrong. But then if you get them right, then people think you've got credibility. So you really can't lose. You either entertain or you gain credibility. So Mark, you first, any predictions, you know, even the first 6 months of Star Wars The Old Republic, what are you expecting that will go well and not so well?
2012, the year World of Warcraft closed its doors.
I think that's a bit optimistic.
Like, I've no idea. Like, I think the game is going to do really well. I think it's a, you know, apart from the odd little bug here and there, it's a really polished product, which is what made WoW as successful as it was. So, like, there's absolutely no reason this can't do as well as WoW as far as I'm concerned. So, like, I think it's going to absolutely take off.
And what about game features? What do you think that they'll do, you know, in a few months?
Well, I was reading that they're going to expand the space combat. They didn't give too much away, but I think it's going to be a lot more involved than it is at the moment. And the other talk, which I was really interested in, was they're talking about adding capital ships, like guild capital ships and stuff, which I think would be awesome. I think that opens up a lot of opportunity as well, because, you know, they could do a whole new operation where basically you got to defend your capital ship from another capital ship, and or make it a PvP event. That, you know, the opportunities are there for expanding upon that too. So these are 2 points that, yeah, just this week they said they were working on. So yeah, looking forward to that.
And if before I jump on to Simon, what do you think the Australian launch month will be?
I actually don't think it'll be that far away. Who was it now? I can't remember if it was David Bass or Stephen Reed did mention before that they were going to aim. I think he said 3 or 4 months into 2012. So I'm hoping it's going to come sooner rather than later. But who knows? It's anybody's guess at this stage.
For what it's worth, I think it's March, April too, not based on any knowledge, but just pure gut feel. Simon, you know, incredible, daring predictions.
Pandas. No, it's not so much what I think is going to come in, because I think they've already outlined in general terms what they're intending to do. So more worlds, yeah, the possibility of guild ships, which, let's face it, would be awesome. The expansion of space combat, yeah, who knows what exactly that's going to be. But secretly, I'd love it to be something a little bit like TIE Fighter, but I seriously doubt that. I suspect they will end up caving at some point and introducing some additional races. I'm really hoping that there will at least be Rodian or Trandoshans in there somewhere, because I think the whole, it's got to look human for you to relate to it. I mean, have you taken a good look at the pure blood Sith? There's not a lot to relate to in that face, I can tell you. So I'm hoping that they'll bring something like that in, and maybe a little bit more control over what your character, how your character appears, how it dresses. Because if Blizzard have worked out that, hey, how people dress is kind of important on how they feel about their character, if even Blizzard can work that out after, 7 years, I'm hoping that BioWare might be a little bit faster on the uptake.
Yeah, it's a really good point as far as the dressing stuff. As far as races, I'm hoping for Jawas. I know it's a dumb thought, but you need some miniature race. Everyone loves a gnome in WoW. I think you need Jawas.
Yeah, signature move could be kneecapping.
That's what I mean. They could be damn cool. The trouble is that, yeah, speaking of dressing yourself, though, they've just always been those brown smocks.
That gets a bit boring. Get a bit difficult to having a passionate love affair with a Jawa as a Jawa.
And you've just reminded me of something. Are both of you, as far as your light side and dark side points, are you tending to waver between your decisions, or are you sticking to one route?
I'm all dark side. Like, from what I've noticed so far, it really is worth going one way or the other, because I noticed some of the good gear will actually say it requires dark side 2 and above, or dark side, or light side 2 and above, and so on and so forth. So I think for the really good gear, you're going to have to be one or the other.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Sitting on the fence is just going to get you a picket-shaped impression in your backside. It's not really going to get you very far. And basically, I'm a bit of a dick anyway, so it's not really too big an ask.
And look, third agreement here because of the gear thing, but also I'm the last person to do role playing, but I've even been trying that as far as I'm trying to be pure as the driven snow as a, you know, Jedi consular. And some of the, it's actually worth it for entertainment because I love the story and the dialogue. But if you're going to get corny dialogue, it's going to be in either of the extremes. So I'm finding some really corny stuff, particularly for those of you that play consulars, where you have to go and spy on this Jedi couple that are in love with each other. There's some real Mills and Boone stuff in there.
Yeah. Look, there are some moments I've come across as well, leveling the Sith Warrior in order, where, you know, some of the dark side choices you get, I genuinely laughed out loud. They were that good, you know, that evil. It was, you know, it was awesome.
I see, yeah, I must admit, there's a lot of sarcasm in there, which gives it two thumbs up from me. I love a bit of sarcasm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, well, that's it for the... Oh, sorry, for what it's worth, my predictions are beyond the March-April launch date is I think they'll actually announce at least the broad details of an expansion before the end of 2012, as premature as that might sound. And the rest I'm going to write in the post because I haven't made it up yet. But I can't see them, I agree, more than 3 or 4 months launching in other territories. Mm. It just wouldn't make sense.
I did read somewhere that apparently the first thing that's on their list at the moment is getting the guild banks up and running, and we're supposed to have them within a month.
Well, that's positive as well. I just want a decent achievement system. I know there are achievements in the codex, but I want a proper one. I want the nice flashy badge thing when you achieve something.
I'm agreed. An addict.
Yeah, see, Simon's on mic. Yeah, Gail, I know you're not. Stop shouting. So, yes, that's the resolutions. Do either of you guys have anything before I do some shout-outs?
I'm just going to throw in when I think we might get a launch here, because I sort of think I forgot to do that. I suspect it's going to be May, June, although I've got a feeling that it might be closer to August.
Well, one thing that backs that contention up is, don't quote me on this, but don't they tend to do launches, most companies, in wintertime when they know people are more likely to be in playing the game?
There is part of that, and I've just been watching a show about the various technologies that they... the things they had to do to get the moon landing done, you know, the rockets and the command capsule, that sort of crap. All of the stuff in anything that is a massively complicated machine like this MMO, there's all sorts of stuff that you plan and you get things as sorted as you can, you throw it out there, and then people start doing things you don't expect, and there ends up being a lot more tidying up and nipping and tucking that needs to be done. And I can see you guys are probably closer to what they would like to do, but I suspect that, like most things in life, stuff just takes longer to get done than you originally thought it would.
Yeah, really good point. I mean, all I care about is when whoever from BioWare comes out, and I don't care if it's one of the doctors down to David Bass or Stephen Reed, I'm taking them to a B&S ball. And that's all there is to it. Then they'll see what Australia's like. So, yes, thank you for all those predictions. Anything from you, Mark, before I do some shout-outs?
Not really, no. I just want to get back to the game, thanks.
I can understand that. I do want to give some specific shout-outs to some great iTunes reviewers. So, as always, we really do appreciate if you do some... reviews on if you're getting the podcast via iTunes. So big thanks to Pathos Bedlam and Adam Farrer for some very nice reviews over the last few weeks. So yeah, love it if you could jump on there. As always, our email address is contact@toroz.com.au. Twitter is SWTOROZ. We have the Facebook page. And actually, while I'm there mentioning the Facebook page, there is also, if you search for SWTOR Gamers of Oceania, there's a great closed group that has about 100, it's only probably got about 130 people in it, but it's quite an active closed group of Oceanic players. So if that's your thing, search for that on Facebook, and they're great guys, and we'll add you to the group, no problems. Twitter, yeah, we're on Google, got a Google Plus page if you're a Google Pluser. The forums have actually been really busy. One of the great things about both the server queues and also when everyone was waiting for their early access invites is the website and the forums went off. So, and you can tell the interest is there from Oceanic players because the website continues to go off on a daily basis. There's lots more people interested in Star Wars The Old Republic at the moment, which is why I'm sort of broadcasting this from my Learjet. And I think that's about it for the shout out. So we'll be back, well, the Christmas break. We're definitely not back next week. And unless anyone has any objections, I'm planning on being back the weekend after, unless that's something like New Year's Eve, is it? Anyway, we might have a New Year's Eve party if we've got no lives.
Yeah.
We'll see how we go. Simon, big thank you for stepping in, and I'm sure it won't be the last time.
Pleasure.
So good to have you. Ed, if you're listening to this, which I know you will eventually, hopefully it's after you've arrived home and you've arrived home safely, and we do miss you. And I feel like one of us should do one of those muhaha laughs, but I can't pull it off.
Nah, not doing it.
I just can't. Nobody can. It's a trademark.
And Mark, I know you've been distressed that Ed's nude shower cam hasn't been working while he's been away either.
And I'm disappointed.
So, yeah, get that fixed, Ed. Get back in that shower. So, yep, Mark, thank you as always. And, yeah, everyone have a great break if you're getting a break. Have a great Christmas if you're having a Christmas. Otherwise, play lots of game, and we'll see you in a fortnight.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.